This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. A plan to ban single-use plastic bags at retailers is back in Cincinnati, courtesy of legislation brought forth by City Councilman Chris Seelbach. The idea first emerged earlier this year, but it was shelved when the COVID pandemic broke out. And now a vote could be on the way as early as the middle of this month. With one revision, the city manager could pause such a ban in a state of emergency like the one issued by the city to address this pandemic. Coming up, we have reaction to that legislation from the Ohio Grocers Association. But first, we're joined on Zoom by Councilman Chris Seelbach. Councilman, welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me back.
So this was something that was explored earlier in the year before the whole world fell apart, and now you are looking at this as an opportunity to revisit the legislation. Why?
Well, first of all, this has taken about 8 years in partnership with Pass Plastic and the Sierra Club and then Kroger. And so, we're doing this. And by the way, Kroger, our nation's largest grocery store, supports the legislation because Americans use 22 billion single-use plastic bags every year. And it can take up to 1,000 years for them to disintegrate, releasing methane and ethylene while they disintegrate, suffocating animals and clogging storm drains, costing us over $1 million a year to pick up litter. So we're doing this on the backs of hundreds of other cities who've already done it in many states because it's the right thing to do.
But not everyone agrees that it's the right thing to do. You've got some movement in the Ohio state legislature where the state Senate back in the spring passed a bill that would ban at the local level, at least in their eyes. And I guess that piece of legislation is back in the House. I've seen conflicting reports on where the governor, Mike DeWine, might stand on this issue. How could that state legislation impact your goals here in Cincinnati?
Yeah, it's funny. The state, which is controlled entirely by Republicans and seem to want local governments to have more control, are actually trying to take control away, which doesn't seem to follow their own principles. But nevertheless, the legislation that we've seen, our law department says they do not believe it would apply to our ban because the legislation we've seen would prevent cities from taxing plastic bags. And that's not what we're doing. The 5-cent fee to either buy a heavy-duty reusable plastic bag or a paper bag would not come back to the city. It would go to the store selling the food. So it is not a tax. It is not a tax. It helps the grocer recover some of the cost of the bag. So the legislation we've seen, our ban would not be impacted.
And again, you're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks, and joined today by City Councilman Chris Seelbach here in Cincinnati, where we're talking about a proposal to bring forth some city legislation that might ban single-use plastic bags. What has the response been from the community, Chris?
You know, back in March when I announced this pre-pandemic, I said that we were going to hold at least two public hearings. We held one back in March, and then the pandemic came. We've now held two additional. Well, we've held one. We'll hold the other one tomorrow. There has not been a single opposition voiced at any of these hearings. I don't think we've received any email in opposition. So, you know, we have done an incredible job of getting a coalition of people like the Sierra Club with Kroger to support this legislation. So, you know, I have not seen any opposition so far.
And you can express your opinion at 513-419-7100. We did put out a push on social media to get some feedback, and we received some comments from our listeners. Wesley wrote to us and said, "I can get behind a ban, especially because of the problem of recycling them. The problem is twofold. First is COVID-19. Nobody is taking bags anymore because of real concerns of speeding it. The other is China. They have stopped buying all of our recycling discards, and now we have barges upon barges of plastic recycling with nowhere to go. We have plastic just piling up, waiting for someone to find a use for it." Cindy wrote to us and said, "I see them flying around and hanging in trees. They need to be gone." Joyce wrote that Seattle charges 5 cents a bag. Shiloh says, quote, "long, long, long overdue." We received a message from Jen who wrote, "I was using all reusable totes prior to the pandemic. Now most stores won't let you use them for fear of contamination. Now that we know the fear of spread on materials is much less than we originally thought, I'd like to see the grocery stores let people bring them again. In addition, there's got to be a way to make these bags biodegradable." Hope wrote to us and said, quote, "I think large companies taking steps to reduce plastic waste is a good and necessary idea, but I also think that this just puts the burden of waste reduction on customers and looks good on paper. Plastic bags aren't especially big problem waste-wise because of the sheer number of them, the low percentage, less than 1%, that gets returned to be recycled, and the uniquely damaging effects they have on marine life. But when it comes to environmental protection issues as a whole, there are very few things individuals should be held accountable for while big corporations pollute at will. Casey writes to say, I use them to clean up dog poop. I use them to line my bathroom trash can. They get reused, do not support. And Stacy says, glad for a ban. They haven't used them in Europe for years, and people still manage to shop and clean their litter boxes. You can send your comments to talk at WVXU.org or call 513-419-7100. So, Chris, as we noted at the top of our interview here, your plan to bring this forth to the city council earlier in the year was halted by the pandemic. And so, too, was concern about plastic bags, it seems, because as we've learned more about the coronavirus, I guess there's less emphasis now on surface contamination. But certainly early on, we were discouraged from bringing our reusable bags. And that's hard for anybody in public radio to say. We're big fans of Big Tote and our tote bags that we love to give out during our fun drives. And I'm wondering what your thoughts on that might be, considering that we've spent the past several months sort of socially distanced from our reusable bags.
Sure. I mean, Kroger did a study about reusable bags and found that they do not increase the spread of COVID-19. They have never banned them from the store. So I'm not sure who the one person said that some grocery stores had banned the reusable bags. And we will be giving out thousands of reusable bags for free through our partnership with Kroger. However, you do not have to bring, under my proposal, a reusable bag to the grocery. For the first 6 months, you will have the option of a heavy-duty reusable plastic bag or a paper bag for free. And then in July 1st of next year, the grocery store will start charging you 5 cents a bag for those bags. So you are not required, although we hope that you'll bring a reusable bag. If you do feel that that's unsafe, you can still get a heavy-duty plastic bag or a paper bag.
And I think what we understand here, as we talked before we went on the air internally, was that, yes, you could still bring your reusable bags into places like Kroger, but you were asked to bag your own groceries. Has that been your experience?
Yes. Yeah, I haven't seen anyone bagging groceries, although I usually go to the self-checkout, so I'm probably not aware. But yeah, I think that you are asked to bag your own groceries.
I read a study from 2018 by the Ministry of Environment and Food of Denmark, and I read a translation of it, I'll note. And it found something very interesting as it relates to plastic bags. And it has to do with the way the bags are produced, which this study concludes is not as impactful on the environment as the production of reusable bags, of paper bags. In fact, they say that paper bags would have to be used 43 times to meet the environmental footprint of a plastic bag, and a conventional cotton bag would have to be used 7,100 times in order to match the environmental footprint of the creation of a plastic bag. Do you have any concerns about the way, not just plastic bags, but all these bags are created? So I guess if you're looking at this more broadly, it's more than just seeing a piece of plastic littering the street, isn't it? There's a whole chain of activity that takes place prior to it becoming litter. And that's true for a lot of different types of bags.
Yeah, and I'm not for sure about this Denmark study, but all of the statistics from the Sierra Club, which is an American-owned nonprofit, say that there's great savings by banning single-use plastic bags, because every single one of them takes up to 1,000 years to disintegrate, where you can easily, through our Cincinnati recycling system, recycle either a paper bag or a heavy-duty reusable bag. So, you know, and I do want to, because I know there's going to be someone on after that's going to be opposed to this. I will say that we are far from the first city to do this. There are hundreds of cities and states that have already done this, and most of them are the cities and states that are thriving the most, the economies that are growing the fastest. And so this idea that it could harm businesses, it just hasn't played out true. And then the other critique could be that this could harm low-income people. Well, thankfully, our ban has an exception. So if you are on any kind of food assistance, then you will be charged nothing for the paper bag or the heavy-duty reusable plastic bag. So these arguments against it don't hold up, because we have the data from hundreds of other cities and states, and we're doing everything we can to make sure that there's no impact on low-income people. So I just want to make sure we had those two points out there.
We're talking with Cincinnati City Councilman Chris Silbach here on Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monk. So we noted that a vote on this issue could come as early as the middle of this month. I think that places us right at about next week sometime. That's according to reporting in the Inquirer. Is that still accurate, Chris?
No, we're voting on this in committee tomorrow, and there will be a full vote of council on Wednesday. So this will pass on Wednesday with a supermajority of council vote.
And you say Wednesday as in this week?
I'm sorry, Thursday of this week, because of Labor Day, where Thursday is our actual meeting.
Okay, so that's even earlier than what was originally reported.
Yeah, I don't know what the Inquirer said, but that was incorrect. The plan was always to vote on it this week.
Okay, and so what are the steps then? You're having the committee meeting. Are you inviting comment on this, some feedback? Will you hear from industry people as well?
Well, so this is the third. This will be the third committee hearing that we've had on this, and so far no one has shown up to tell us anything other than that they support the ban. So, but yes, if anyone wants to come tomorrow, I believe it is 2 o'clock in council chambers, the Education, Innovation, and Growth Committee with PG Sittenfeld chairs. You can come and either sign up to speak through Zoom, or you can come in person and socially distance and speak. But as I said, it will be the third hearing and no one has come to oppose so far.
And you said a supermajority is expected to be in favor of this. Have you seen any opposition from your fellow members of council?
No member of council has told me that they do not support it. You know, I have the mayor, John Cranley, support, who I appreciate. And everyone that I've talked to has said they're going to support it, and that includes a supermajority. But I have not spoken to two of my colleagues about it. So, but it's going to pass overwhelmingly.
And then what would be the process for that? Can you explain sort of the way that this legislation becomes enacted? Like what type of time frame would we be looking at?
So this will start January 1st. So starting January 1st, any store that sells food will no longer be able to use single-use plastic bags. For the first 6 months, the options will be the heavy-duty plastic reusable bag or a paper bag for free. And then in July 1st of next year, there will be a 5-cent charge unless you're on a food assistance program. It will be enforced by our Department of Health, who regularly goes to places that sell food to do inspections. And they will note if the place is using single-use plastic bags. If they are, we will work with them to come into compliance. We don't want to fine them. But if they refuse to come into compliance, there would be an administrative hearing where they could face up to $100 a day in penalty.
And when you say a store that sells food, this is beyond the large grocery stores like Kroger. Does that include the corner store?
It includes anything that sells food. It includes restaurants. So takeout restaurants. Any place that sells food would no longer be able to use the single-use plastic bags.
What are you advising some of the smaller corner stores? And they're sprinkled all over the city. What would you advise them to use as an alternative?
So the legislation actually calls for what they can use as an alternative, the weight of the reusable plastic bag and the paper bag. So, you know, what I would tell them is that we want to work with them to make sure that they're in compliance. So if they have any questions or fears or concern, reach out to us. We want to be a resource to help. The whole city does, our health department, our city administration. So, you know, we want to work with you to make sure that you're doing the right thing and that you're not penalized for not being in compliance.
And Councilman, you noted that this is a piece of legislation that has been adopted in other fast-growing economically cities. And I'm wondering if there are any other cues that we can look for you to be taking there as you enter what will be your last year on council. Is there any piece of legislation you'll be exploring after this, maybe inspired by some of those other locales?
Absolutely. And one of them is very significant that we're almost ready to introduce, but Breonna's Law. As you know, I'm originally from Louisville, Kentucky, where Breonna Taylor was killed, and Louisville Metro Council unanimously passed Breonna's Law, which bans no-knock warrants. I'm introducing that legislation in Cincinnati and hope to have it being referred to committee in the next several weeks.
Chris Silbach is a Cincinnati City Councilman. We'll look forward to covering that vote later this week. Chris, we thank you so much for the time you gave us.
Thank you very much, and have a great day.
You too. So thanks to Councilman Silbach for joining us. And we're joined now on the phone for reaction by Ohio Grocers Association President and CEO, Kristen Mullins. Kristen, welcome to our show.
Well, thank you so much, Michael. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It's our pleasure to have you. Thank you for taking some time. And you can also join us at 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. So, Kristen, what is your reaction to what appears to be imminently pending legislation here in the city of Cincinnati related to a ban on plastic bags?
Yeah, and I understand the desire and the thought behind it. I think, though, the problems that aren't being addressed are like the patchwork among the states. And like, for instance, if we do this, down in Cincinnati, then stores that have companies that have stores that are not in Cincinnati proper and are outside now have to figure out how to train their people when the law applies and when the law doesn't apply. And that's true, like, across the state. So, in general, the grocery industry, so I'm talking traditional grocery stores, not so much the C stores, but, the traditional grocery stores, we are not against an alternative bagging, vehicle, if you will. But we can't just do this. One, we can't do it patchwork. It needs to be a statewide decision. So we can look at this and address this on a statewide basis. Two, it needs to be a thought-out process. If we were today to stop, manufacturing plastic bags because of these bans, there's not enough paper manufacturers in the country to meet the supply. So we would have paper costs going out of the roof. When this was happening in the Cleveland area, I had a member quote me that the change and the cost going from plastic bags to paper bags would cost this retailer in excess of $2 million to make this happen. And because you have to make this happen on the fly. And that's our biggest obstacle with this. Like, we're not opposed to a change, but I think it needs to be something that's thought out, that's implemented over time so we can not only, be prepared as business owners, but, get educated as consumers. And we need to do it so that businesses aren't harmed.
And we're talking with Kristen Mullins, president and CEO of the Ohio Grocers Association. And so, Kristen, you said that you want to avoid a patchwork approach to plastic bags in Ohio. You'd rather see a statewide piece of legislation. There was statewide legislation approved by the state Senate back in May that would have banned such a ban in Cincinnati. Was your organization in support of that legislation?
Yes, we were, very, very much so. And in fact, it's been approved by both houses, but there's been some adjustments. So right now it's in conference committee. So we do expect within the next couple of weeks to have that conference committee decision come out with the hopes of having something, signed into law by the end of the year.
So would your organization support statewide legislation then that banned plastic bags?
Well, the devil is in the details, right? So you tell me what the details of that law is, and yes, we would. I've got members who, who are in support of a change, but we just can't do it, we need years to prepare for this. We've got inventory of hundreds of thousands of bags with logos on them that are waiting to be utilized. So if you cut something off in January, those just, what do we do with those? Those just go to waste. We have, consumer habits to change. I always go back to when we went from paper to plastic. Look how long it took consumers to make that switch completely. There was a long time when you were asked paper or plastic when you went to the grocery store. We kind of think that there's something along the same lines here. With COVID this year, the plastic bags were looked upon favorably because there was less chance for, contamination, be it cross-contamination of food or, contamination with, COVID-related issues.
And we've got some emails to read from our listeners. Karen writes and says, quote, "We go to Hilton Head every year. They use nice paper bags with handles like Trader Joe's, at the Super Kroger, at Shelter Cove. I do not believe you pay extra for them, and you can always ask for a paper bag here in Cincinnati. I do it all the time if I go to Kroger, which is rare. They do not have handles, and I don't pay extra. She goes on to say, what is an extra 5 cents to Kroger when grocery bills are usually at least $20 or even more than $100? Kroger doesn't need an ordinance from the city. I can't believe they don't do voluntarily because it is the right thing to do. I do not go to Kroger anymore. I shop at Trader Joe's, and it's usually cheaper anyway. We've got more emails to read from our listeners. Gary writes, quote, your guest is flat out wrong in stating that Kroger has allowed the use of customer brought tote bags during the pandemic. Kroger has prohibited them at the Newport, Bellevue, and Highland Heights stores for months. I think that was a reference to our previous guest, Councilman Chris Silbach.
Okay.
And James writes to say he is a supporter of the plastic bag ban, but one of the alternatives, paper bags, is also destructive to the environment. Paper grocery bags are not from recyclable paper. I've got one more to read here from Nancy, who writes, Kroger not only accepts reusable bags, but they are having their baggers put our groceries into them again. One does not need to do one's own bagging. The checkout person at Hyde Park Kroger told me that came down from corporate. So we are seeing some mixed responses from across the region as it relates to their own neighborhood Kroger and some of the policies there. So let me ask you, Kristen, we're talking with Kristen Mullins, president and CEO of the Ohio Grocers Association. What are your organization's concerns as it relates to the environmental impact of plastic bags and any efforts to mitigate those?
So, of course, we are concerned about the environmental footprint that our stores do. And a lot of our stores are taking on their own policies in their own time. I think Kroger committed to go no plastic bags by, I think it's 2025. I know Giant Eagle has done something similarly up here in the northern part of the state. So you've got some of these big corporate stores that are making their own environmental decisions to do this. And, you know, when it's done on their timeline, they can mitigate the cost. They can mitigate the cost. And that first email where she says that she doesn't believe that it costs, you know, a difference between a paper bag and a plastic bag, it absolutely does. A paper bag is around 10 cents a bag, and a plastic bag is around 2 cents a bag. And when you're talking as many bags as we go through in a grocery store, you know, those cents add up, you know, quite significantly. So, you know, we want to come up with a solution, right? During the pandemic, you know, it was kind of worrisome for these reusable bags. And some stores are still banning. Some stores have lessened up. You know, it's kind of all in an individual policy among the stores. But, you know, we think that there's a way to do this. You know, back when we were only paper, we were worried about the trees. And so we made the change to plastic. So now we worry about, you know, the environment and the litter issue. And so we agree there may be time for a change. But, you know, what are we going to do and how are we going to do it needs to be a thought out process.
And just one last thing there, just to sort of follow up on that, Kristen, there's growing anti-plastic sentiment across this country, whether it's containers that certain products come in or straws, for example, and more specifically to our conversation today, plastic bags at grocery stores and food marts. If that sentiment continues to grow, what is the preparation that industry leaders like you hope to accomplish in order to be prepared for what may be an inevitable transition?
Well, you know, it's a very good question. You know, I think we've had several suggestions. You know, the strongest one I'm hearing now is, you know, with the ability to grow hemp here in Ohio, you know, maybe it's we could do something along, you know, those lines. Maybe, you know, we go back to different kinds of ways when you think about, you know, through the pandemic, we had a lot more deliveries. You know, so maybe we don't need to deliver in bags anymore, you know, but if you look at Amazon and all the cardboard that they use, you know, at least that's recyclable, right? But there's still a lot of waste there, you know? And so I think it's got to be like a whole, you know, retail, not just grocery, but a whole retail discussion and decision and what we do next. And I will say,
I think we just lost Kristen, unfortunately. And that's too bad. We were just about out of time, but that looks like a technical error on either our end or on her end. So, Kristen, if you can hear us, We apologize for that disconnection, and we hope to have you on again soon. She was kind enough to join us earlier in the pandemic to talk about issues related to grocery store workers. That was Kristen Mullins, Ohio Grocers Association President and CEO. Kristen, we do thank you. And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.